Has anybody ever heard of Augustus Montague Top Lady? Fantastic guy. You can guess, he was born quite a long time ago. Augustus Montague Top Lady, he was an Anglican vicar of a village called Blagden, which was in the Mendip Hills, which is just south of Bristol, and he was a vicar in this village of Blagden in about 1760s. He was a controversial, outspoken guy. He had lots of arguments with Charles Wesley and John Wesley about the whole theory of predestination and Arminianism. But anyway, that wasn't what he was most famous for. He was most famous for writing some really great hymns. Does anybody know one of the really great hymns that he wrote? No. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And it's inspired. I don't actually know if it's true, but he definitely wrote the hymn and he definitely lived in that area. But the tradition says that one day he was walking through Burrington Gorge, which is here, in the Mendip Hills, which is in Cheddar Gorge, and he was caught in this massive storm. And then he caught in this storm, and this little cleft in the rock here, see there's a little plaque even there, this little cleft in the rock here, he hid in this plaque, he hid... That wouldn't have given much protection, would it? To be fair, and wouldn't have made a great hymn. But he hid in the cleft in this rock. this cleft in the rock. And this storm raged around him. And the weather beat down, but he just retreated into this cleft in the rock. And he wrote these extraordinary words about Rock of Ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And there were words that were inspired by what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae when he said this, "For you have died and your life now is hidden with Christ in God." And just recently, we're going to come up to Christmas and all the times when we're talking about Christmas and there are so many things, but I'm just aware that there are sometimes we have to come back to some truths that will just so root and nourish our soul. And I have been just fascinated by this phrase, being in Christ. Just as Augustus Montague Toplady, the vicar of Blagden, was hidden in this rock while a storm raged around him, there is this phrase that goes through the Bible time and time and time again about what it means to be in Christ. And I believe that when we understand what it means to be in Christ, we become totally and utterly fearless. And I think we become fearless in a number of different ways. I think we become fearless to become courageous and adventurous. And I think we become fearless to face all sorts of suffering and adversity and persecution very, very well. So when we are in Christ, we become fearless. I think we can become fearless and when we're in Christ, we can become courageous and adventurous. Because when you're hidden in Christ... Like, you're not alone, you're protected. It's not you being exposed, you're not the one that is vulnerable. You are hidden in Christ. And I believe that that is the moment that we can become extraordinarily courageous and adventurous. And there's this verse in Isaiah 49, and it says this, "The Lord called me from the womb." We haven't got this one up actually, John. "The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword, and in the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away." So this is talking about God making this man like this really sharp arrow. It's quite an offensive thing. You don't want to carry arrows around in your pocket. You might get hurt. But God is saying, "No, I made you this incredibly sharp, offensive weapon. But I've hidden you away in my quiver as well." And I think there is something about when we know that we are hidden in Christ, we become more adventurous. And we become more courageous. And we think, "Oh no, this is what God has called me to do. I'm hidden in God. I am not vulnerable. I will do all that God has called me to do." And I don't know how much it's true, but I have never been in the army, but I have ridden in a few tanks. And it must be like, if you're some infantryman slogging away and you've got all bullets pinging around you, and then this tank rocks up and he says, "Oh, hop on, mate." You, come on! You're not out, you're not exposed, you're not vulnerable. You're in this tank riding into battle. That's what it's like to be hidden in Christ. And I believe that also being in Christ makes us incredibly fearless in the face of suffering and persecution and adversity. Psalm 27 says this: "One thing I've asked of the Lord, that I will seek and I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." And I just think, okay, being in Christ makes us courageous, but it also enables us to face persecution and suffering, adversity, because we know that ultimately, at the end of the day, we're okay. We aren't, nothing can take us away from Jesus. So all I wanted to do this morning is, in the time that we've got, and we'll finish just after 12 o'clock, and then we'll pray and we'll sing something to finish, but we will be done by 10 past, just in case you're wondering about the time. I believe that being in Christ, hidden in Christ, is such an extraordinarily wonderful truth that all I want to do is I just want to highlight a few scriptures that just come again and again. And you know, the list that I got in the end, there were probably about 15 or 16 extraordinary verses where you could just say, oh, we are in Christ. I just wanted to pull out a few of them, and we'll just focus on them and see how far we get. First one. If you want to know what the verse is, it's in Ephesians 1. But did you know this? That all along, from the very, very beginning of time, before the dinosaurs ruled on the earth, you know, before that time, before they roamed around, before Abraham was around, before the Romans, before Henry VIII, before the First World War, before the Second World War, before any part of history ever came into being, do you know what God did? He determined that he was going to love you. And he determined that he was going to love you whether you loved him back or not. He just decided that. He decided that that was what he was going to do. He chose you and he predestined you to bless you in Christ. And this is what it says in Ephesians 1. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and blameless before him. It's extraordinary. Before anything happened, he said, no, Jackie, it's you. Whether you love me back or not, my love for you will never, ever cease. Second thing, not only did God say when we were in Christ that he would love us before even history kicked off, but he decided that he was going to give you, before you lived a single day of your life, he was going to give you an extraordinary purpose and grace. Have you ever said, I don't know what I'm doing with my life? I just don't know how my life is going to pan out. My life hasn't panned out quite as I thought it would be. Well, did you know that in Christ, God says this to you, I have purpose and I have grace for you. 2 Timothy 2, 1, verse 8 and 9 says this: God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our own works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. I just think, if you're ever wondering what you're doing with your life, don't wonder so much what you're doing with your life. Wonder where your life is in Christ. Because God's promise in here is saying this, that when we are in Christ, we have this clarity of purpose and destiny. And I am a real strong believer of the last command school of discipleship. What was the last thing that God told you to do? Well, get on and do it. And I just feel that, you know, if you may be thinking, I don't know what my purpose or my grace or what grace God has put onto my life, what was the last thing that God has told you to do? And are you doing that really effectively? And what I want to do is, at the end, I just want to say that I want to pray for us, that we would just know that we are in Christ, that we're hidden in Christ, like that vicar in that bit of rock, that we're surrounded by Jesus. And I want to pray that actually there would be a sense of many of us stepping into, again, the thing that God has always called us to do. Number three. Did you know that when you are in Christ, nothing can divorce you from the love of God? I want to do a very small experiment that I tried yesterday at home, and it may work, and it may just badly crash and burn, okay? Can anybody just put their hand up and tell me their favorite pop song. Anybody? Doesn't somebody tell me, please?
How will I know if he loves me by Owen?
Yeah. How will I know if he loves me by? Yeah, thank you. We don't need to sing. By Whitney Houston. Okay, very good. Nice song. Anyone else? Nice. Yes?
Would she ever know that I love her very much? It's by Roland Keating.
By who?
Roland Keating.
Roland Keating. Okay. Okay, very good. Anyone else? What was it?
Smooth Criminals.
Smooth Criminals. Okay, yeah. That's very good. Okay, one last one. Dancing Queen. Yeah, okay, that's my era, okay. So, but my thesis is that, or my theory, or whatever it is, but is that 90% of every pop song that we have ever known is about finding the right person to love, losing the right person to love, keeping the right person to love, or nowadays, what are you going to do with the right person you found to love, okay. But that's what I think most pop songs are about. They're about this quest for love. Why? There are so many things that we can have pop songs about. So many, but it's about, nearly all of them are about finding, keeping, and retaining love. But do you know that when we are in Christ, we can just know categorically that you are loved. When you are in Christ, when you build Christ around you, when you say that no, nothing is more important than Jesus Christ, when you're surrounded, you know that God loves you. Romans 8:38 says this, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love in Christ Jesus, our Lord." There are truths, and I don't know, some of these verses you may think, oh, that's a great verse for me, and other ones they might, but you know, I just want to say, just take one verse that we're going to look at today. I say, no, that is what it means for me to be in Christ. I cannot be divorced. I cannot be divorced from the love of God. I will know God's purpose and grace on my life. The next verse I have from you is this, that when we are in Christ, you are freed from being a slave. You're released from prison. You're set free from captivity. It talks about in the Old Testament about all the Israelites going into Egypt, and then they're sort of like they're brought out of slavery. But this is what it says in Ephesians 1, verse 7, that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins and our trespasses. We are set free. And more than that, we are set free from the guilt of the sin, of the things that we've done in the past. And did you know what? You don't have to be locked up in Pentonville prison like some of the guys that we know to feel guilty for some of the things that you've done. And by the way, did you know that nearly everybody in prison feels really, really bad about what they've done? You just need to know that, okay? Perhaps not all of them, but perhaps the guys that we know in the chapel, they are racked with a sense of self-loathing. Why is self-harm such a big issue in prison? Because they hate themselves for what they've done. And they don't see any way out of it. And that's why we keep going in. We keep going, oh, this is the love of Jesus in your life. In Christ, you can be free from that. You don't have to be free from the sin and the things you've got, you do. But actually, you can be free from the guilt of it as well. I really felt I needed to say to some people, you know, God doesn't want you to feel guilty. He doesn't. God does not want you to feel guilty. He wants your life to be hidden in Christ. Next verse I have for you. Before I say this, I've learned a few things in life. That's fine, keep it up there. I've learned a few things in my 50 years. If a woman has a haircut, one, notice it, two, say it looks good. I have learned that, okay? I've also learned that occasionally I can notice somebody's, like my wife's haircut, a little bit too late. But it is still worth saying, have you had your haircut? Oh, it looks nice. I just need to let you know that. I've also learned one or two things about African women's hair. I have learned that you can be one person one day and you can be in a salon for 4 or 5 hours and be a completely different person. I once asked a girl called Tiffany who was in here. I said, Tiffany, and I'm not joking, I said this in with honesty. I said, Tiffany, how does your hair grow so quickly? To which my kids were going, Dad! Oh, please don't, Dad. No, don't. It's just my observation, okay? But I've known that you can look completely different. But I also know that in Christ, we become a new creation. And we can become a completely different person. Not just the way we look like, not just on the outside, but the more we become in Christ, the more we change. And it says this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And in Galatians 3, verse 26, it says this, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. We are beloved children. And do you know what? I think when I was a teenager, I used to spend so much time thinking, oh, how can I be a better Christian? What can I do? What do I have to do to be a better Christian? And all of these things. And I was trying to work out how to live and what I should do. And do I copy these people here? And I wish somebody had said to me, actually, don't worry about that. Worry about being in Christ, about building Jesus around your life, about being surrounded, about choosing him above all else, about just worshipping him, about delighting in him above all else. I think sometimes we want to change so much. I want to become more like Jesus. But the more I focus on being in Christ, the more I just find it happens. I've got so many verses, and I'm going to rattle through these ones really quickly. Did you know in Christ, you can work out how heaven works out? Did you know that? When you are in Christ, you know how heaven works. Ephesians 2, verse 6, there's this. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the more we are in Christ, the more we understand what it is to be in Christ, the more we just understand how heaven works, the more we have the authority, the more we have authority with our friends and family. Can I just say, it was a great moment. Mark, am I allowed to say what happened at the end of touch on? Yeah. Okay, so it's great. You're not allowed to visualize any of this, okay? But after touch rugby, let's just say we were getting changed. We won't mention we were in the shower, standing there in the shower. There's a few of us around, and there's a guy that we play, it's not a lad, he's an old guy in touch rugby, and he was just saying how he's started dating again. He's got divorced, and he's just going through all of that. And he said, and then he just started opening up. He said, I just feel quite. Did he say he felt quite alone? Or what did he say?
He just felt lonely and lost. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah, just felt lonely and lost. In the shower, Marco says, you need to come to church, mate.
Do it in the toilet.
And then he said, nah, I don't think so. And he said, no, yeah,